Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, there's no doubt this morning what the title of our sermon is. Would you say it with me? How great thou art. Based on Psalm 86, verse 10, which says, O Lord, you alone are great. You alone are God. Our hymns that preach summer sermon series continues with a look at probably one of the most famous hymns ever written, of course, How Great Thou Art. This hymn had its beginning as a poem written by a Swedish man whose name was Carl Gustav Boberg. Born in 1859 in Sweden, he would eventually become a Lutheran pastor and a member of the Swedish government parliament. As a young man, Carl Gustav Boberg was a master carpenter and a fisherman, like Linus's great-grandpa this morning. But then, Carl Boberg had a conversion experience, was baptized as an adult, and felt the call to become a pastor. The original title of the poem, which became our hymn, was O Mighty God. He wrote it at age 26 in 1885. He was on a summer evening walk. A thunderstorm and a fierce wind suddenly overwhelmed them. And then Boberg shares, it ended as soon as it began. From a vantage point overlooking an ocean bay, he suddenly saw the water in the bay was clear as glass. In a tree branch above his head, a songbird began singing. And at that very moment, a church bell began ringing. Boberg went right home and wrote the hymn, the poem, O Mighty God, overwhelmed with the majesty of God's creation, but especially the greatness of his love and his Savior, Jesus. The hymn became so popular, it was soon translated into many languages. It caught on fire in Russia and in Germany. But when it was brought to America, it was translated into English, and at that time it was renamed How Great Thou Art. Originally, it had 9 verses. But the 4 verses we just sang are verses sung by millions of people all over the world, all because of a sudden summer storm in Sweden. Who could have been behind that storm? Yes, Lord, how great thou art. Carl Gustav Boberg died in 1940 in Sweden at the age of 81, having no idea that his hymn would become one of the most beloved hymns in the entire world. So now this morning we'll take a brief look at the verses of this hymn, the Bible verses they're based upon, and its message for us today. Verse 1, you know it well. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Can you imagine Carl Boberg writing these words as he was considering God's majesty both during and after that summer sudden storm? The same sense of wonder is spoken of in Psalm 86, verse 10. O Lord, you are great. O Lord, you alone are God. And how about Psalm 8? O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. You have displayed your splendor above the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars, what is man that you take thought of him, the son of man that you care for him? In our prayers today before the service, our elder, Stephen Gettle, prayed the same prayer. As we look at creation, God is so big and so small. And you know, according to this hymn, it'd be a good idea for each of us from time to time to stand at the seashore, to stand and pause at a mountain trail, to stand at the sunrise or sunset, and in awesome wonder, as the hymn says, consider God's greatness and our smallness. and yet to give thanks that Almighty God does, as the hymn says, take thought of us and cares about us. God, who is busy running the universe, was right here this morning, welcoming little Linus into his arms forever. How great thou art, and yet this great God loves each of us and knows us by name. And the repeated and repeated chorus of this hymn reminds us why the Almighty God loves people like us. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. My Savior God, to thee. God cares about us. The great and almighty God cares about us because he is our Savior. The God of all creation saw us in our sinful human condition, saw how we had run away from him and had broken God's heart from the first of Adam and Eve to the horrible headlines in the newspapers today, and God decided he would not abandon us to destruction. As great as his creation is, verse 1 of the hymn, all the works thy hands have made, you and I are the crown of his creation. And he has come to us in Jesus, his Savior, that nothing would separate us from him forever. He indeed, as the hymn says, loves us because he is our Savior God. Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, picks this up in chapter 25 when he says, Isaiah is looking ahead to the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. And listen to what Isaiah says. Isaiah says, God, how great thou art, because you're going to send us a Savior. He says, and it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God for whom we have waited, that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be rejoicing and be glad in the greatness of his salvation. How great thou art. Verse 2 of the hymn says, when through the woods and forest glades I wander, I hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, how great thou art. Beverly on her cell phone has got a real unique ring pattern. It's the beautiful sound of songbirds singing. Carl Gustav Boberg, after he experienced that summer storm and heard the birds singing above his head, he was reminded of God's great love for him. Boberg compared creation to salvation. In this hymn, he goes from creation to salvation and back and forth, reminding us how great God is. Jesus did the same thing. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus connects creation to salvation to remind us of the greatness of God's love. Listen to what Jesus said. Do I and my family need to listen to these words today? I'll tell you why at the end of the service. Jesus said, do not be anxious for your life. Look to the birds of the air. They do not sow. They do not reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Yes, you are. Yes, Almighty God loves his creation. Yes, according to the hymn, God loves the birds that sing sweetly in the trees. But dear people, every time you hear the songbirds sing, every time I hear Beverly's cell phone sing, we will be reminded, as Carl Boberg was reminded during that summer storm, as much as God loves those birds, he loves you more. And you want the proof? Look there at the cross. Now in verse 3 of the great hymn, Boberg tells us the number one proof of how much God loves you and me. The wonders of his creation, according to this hymn, need to be pondered and described. But this next wonder in verse 3 is beyond description. But when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. How great thou art. This is why so often, Sunday after Sunday, I've done it three times already today, and I'll do it again. I point you to the cross of our Jesus over the altar. As we see Jesus on the cross and realize what he has done there for us, his blood shed, his life given to pay for our sins, we must bow our heads with Carl Boberg in this hymn and say, as the hymn says, I scarce can take it in. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter chapter 1. You are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Today, in the baptism of little Linus, or Linus, we can also join in and saying with Carl Boberg, I scarce can take it in. Because in baptism, all that Jesus has done for us on that cross 2,000 years ago was brought and given and delivered in these waters of holy baptism. That's what a sacrament is. A sacred gift of God that delivers to us today what Jesus accomplished for us on that cross, the forgiveness of our sins and life and salvation. And today in worship, look at the altar. Today is a two-sacrament Sunday, Holy Communion. And yes, here again, in this bread and wine, which is at the same time the body and blood of Christ, what is given to us? What is delivered to us? The forgiveness of our sins and the assurance of our salvation. These are the sweet promises of God I have been whispering into the ear of my mama for the last week. Indeed, when we bow at that altar and receive the body and blood of Christ, we join Gustav Karl Borberg with the hymn and say, I scarce can take it in. And we continue with the hymn, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. The fourth and final verse of the hymn says this, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Yes, the wonders of God's creation make us say, how great thou art. Yes, the wonder of our salvation in Jesus Christ on the cross and empty tomb cause us to proclaim, how great thou art. But there will one day be a final reason to sing of God's greatness. On that final day when Jesus our Lord returns with power and glory to usher in the end of the world and the beginning of eternity, and then we shall fall on our knees and sing, how great thou art. St. Paul puts it this way in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive shall be caught up with them together in the air to meet the Lord, and we will always be together with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. On that final day, what shall we say? What shall we sing? Say it with me, won't you? How great thou art. Come to the end of our sermon. It was in the Middle Ages, around 1200. Actually, it was in Germany. And a well-known priest announced that he was going to preach a sermon that night on the greatness of God's love. Now, this was not a usual topic at the time, because at that time in the church, most sermons were about God's anger and holiness against sin. But when the people heard the sermon was going to be about the greatness of God's love, that night the cathedral was packed. But instead of going into the pulpit, the priest just sat. The sun was shining through the stained glass window. Still, the priest sat in silence. Finally, when the cathedral was dark, the priest went to the altar and lit a candle. Then he walked, because over the altar, like what we have here, was a lifelike statue of Jesus upon the cross. And in silence for several minutes, the priest held the candle in the darkness up to the nail-scarred hands of our Savior. And then in the darkness, he moved that candle to the feet. To the feet which, like the hands, had the scars of the nails. And then in the darkness, he finally moved the candle to the crown of thorns on Jesus' bloodied head. After these sacred minutes had passed, he pronounced the final blessing, and the time of worship was finished. The people left the service that evening knowing they heard an unforgettable sermon on the greatness of God's love, even though the preacher had spoken not one word. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. In the name of Jesus, it's good to be back home with you. Amen.